Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of In Accord. This is our first In Accord for the year 2026. Since we canceled the last 2 weeks because of the winter family weekend, we have a lot to report on, more than I can do justice to over the next few minutes. Before getting into my topic, I want to make a brief reference to a story that is still unfolding. As you're well aware, this past Saturday morning, we awoke to the news that the United States had performed a military operation in Venezuela, which resulted in the arrest of Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, although his legitimacy as president has been questioned in most countries around the world. But the fact that a sitting president of another country was arrested and charged with a number of very serious crimes was shocking. Although not without precedent, it was still shocking. If there was any doubt about the dangerous times in which we are living, this certainly should remove all doubt. The threat of war and additional military operations is a real possibility. I only mention this to encourage all of us to watch world events. The Bible describes these days in some detail in Matthew 24. And in Luke 21, verse 36, we're told to watch as the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ are unfolding. I admonish all of us to please pay attention to what is happening in our world today. Many news analysts have referred to this as the most dangerous time in the world since the end of World War II. Now for an update on the news of the church. Some of you may be aware of this first announcement, possibly from your Sabbath services. Sadly, last Thursday, January 1st, Dave Baker, our regional director for Asia and the Philippines, informed me of the death of a longtime elder and retired pastor in the Philippines, Mr. Florante Chopin. He and his wife, Lena, served in the Filipino ministry from the date of his ordination in 1998 until his retirement from the full-time ministry in 2017. He had been in poor health for the past few years and died at the age of 87. I'd like to read some comments that Mr. Baker made when Mr. Chopin retired in 2017. Florante has been a faithful shepherd in caring for the flock. He is loving and kind and always there to encourage and comfort. He is a passionate teacher who speaks from the heart, instructing members in God's way of life. And most important, Florante and Lena have set a beautiful example of modeling God's way. When there was a need to protect the flock or combat heresy, Florante was there, ready to stand in the gap. Mr. Chopin was the senior minister in the Philippines, both in age and longevity of service. He will be deeply missed by his family and the brethren in the Philippines. Now to an update on the new learning center being built on our property in McKinney. Things are a bit slower than we would like, but overall, we're making excellent progress. In the final 2 weeks of the year, the land was leveled in preparation for the foundation, and concrete piers were sunk along the perimeter of the foundation. This is because of the poor soil that we had to contend with in building the building. The plumbing and electric are being prepared for the foundation, which should be poured in the next couple of weeks. Completion is estimated to be sometime in the fall of 2026. The final product will be a 12,000-square-foot learning center that will have a 500-seat auditorium in the center of the building. The new building will serve as a center for all our education programs with a focus on Foundation Institute. The auditorium will also serve as the regular Sabbath meeting location for the Dallas congregation. Now I'd like to give you an update on my most recent international trip to Chile. It was a 12-day trip and my first international trip since my surgery. On Thursday evening, December the 11th, Sharon and I, along with Phil and Marlis Sandilands, traveled from the United States to Santiago, Chile, for a church visit. There were two reasons for making this trip. First of all, I chose Chile as the best location for my first international trip since my heart surgery. Secondarily, Mr. Sandilands was recently named as the Assistant Regional Director for Latin America, and will eventually replace Mr. Walker as regional director when Mr. Walker retires. As such, he chose Chile as his first church visit in Latin America. So for these two reasons, we chose Chile as a beginning point. We returned to Dallas on December 22nd. It was a wonderful trip. But before addressing the details of our trip, let me give you a few facts about the Spanish work. Mr. Leon Walker has been part of the Spanish work from its beginning in 1956 in the Radio Church of God in Bricketwood, England. Dr. Benjamin Ray was appointed as the first director, and Mr. Walker was his first employee. And after Dr. Ray's untimely death, others were given the responsibility as regional director over the next 20 or so years. Then in November of 1979, Mr. Walker was appointed as the regional director for Latin America by Herbert Armstrong. He has served in that capacity ever since. Currently, there is no one in the ministry who has served in one job as long as Mr. Walker. Earlier this past year, he approached Doug Horchak and me about the possibility of naming someone to assist him who could then take over when he chooses to retire to avoid leaving a gap in the leadership. Ministerial Services gave Mr. Walker the names of two U.S. pastors as recommendations. After he interviewed these two men and their wives, Mr. Walker recommended Phil and Marla Sanderlands to assist him and be trained in advance of Mr. Walker's retirement. We are aware that the announcement of Mr. Sanderland's new assignment was a disappointment to the brethren in Arizona, since he had just been transferred to the area as the new pastor. Our plan is to send a new pastor to Arizona this summer to replace Mr. Sanderland's. We'll be making this announcement along with other transfers for the year 2026 in all U.S. congregations this coming Sabbath, January the 10th. Now, to provide some additional background, the work in Latin America is by far the largest international work of the Church of God, a worldwide association. In this region, we have more than 1,800 members attending services on a weekly basis. We have congregations stretching from South America to Central America to Mexico to the Caribbean, along with scattered groups in Europe and other parts of the world. And there are 18 elders serving in Latin America in seven different countries who report to Mr. Walker and in the future will report to Mr. Sanderlands. And there is one retired pastor in Mexico, Pablo de Maquis, which gives us a total of 19 ministers in the region. There is no other part of our international work with as many people and as many ministers. Mr. Sanderlands will certainly be a very busy man. We envision 1 to 2 years of training and working closely with Mr. Walker, Mr. Horchak, and myself, along with the help of numerous resources that will be available to Mr. Sanderlands here in the headquarters office. Now, I'd like to give you a summary of our recent trip. We arrived in Santiago on Friday, December the 12th, after an overnight flight from Dallas. This was my first international trip since my surgery in July. It was tiring, but overall, I made it just fine. The next day, Sabbath of December 13th, we held services in the morning in Santiago with 315 people present. Mr. Sanderlands and I gave split sermons in Spanish. In the afternoon, everyone stayed for lunch in the church hall. And in the evening, we had dinner with a group of the elders. On Sunday, December the 14th, we held a luncheon for all the International Leadership Program participants, which came to about 40 counting men and wives. Both Mr. Sanderlands and I addressed the group in Spanish. I gave a brief history of the program itself. And after the luncheon, we were treated to some of the young people performing native Chilean dances. It was very entertaining. To see the young people so involved in the church and serving as they did was very encouraging. Sunday evening, we did another dinner with members in the Santiago area. And on Tuesday, December the 16th, we drove a couple of hours out of the city to the local feast site. This is a relatively new site. For many years, the churches in Chile met in South Chile for the Feast of Tabernacles. This new site is on the beach and only a couple of hours' drive outside of the city of Santiago. The location is the town of El Quisco. The owner of the local hotel where services were held last year is building a separate standalone auditorium that will be ready before the feast this coming year. It is exciting to see such a nice site for the brethren in Chile to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Then on Wednesday, we did some more touring around the area and visiting with brethren. We also visited the church office and discussed future plans for the work in Chile. And on Wednesday night at 9 p.m., I conducted a Bible study that was webcast throughout South America. It was a challenge for my limited Spanish, but it seems that it was well received. Then on Thursday, we drove south out of the city to Talca, where we met Alvaro Matamala and his wife, Fabiola. Mr. Matamala is full-time in the ministry and serves in the Talca area. On Friday, we toured a beautiful park in the city along the river. We were treated to a mini-concert provided for us by two students from the local college who have also performed in the United States. They were friends of Mr. Matamala. Both played violin, and they entertained us for about half an hour. It was a wonderful pre-Sabbath mini-concert. And on the Sabbath, we had a combined service in Talca of over 100 people. Once again, Mr. Sandilands and I gave split sermons. After services, we hosted a luncheon in the church hall for all the members. And then Saturday evening, we had dinner with the Matamalas. Then on Sunday, December 21st, we drove back to Santiago, visited with a few members along the way, and then drove to the airport where we caught an overnight flight late that evening back to Dallas. For me, the trip was tiring, but inspirational. The members and ministry in Chile are so filled with enthusiasm and love for the church that it was indeed contagious. The Sandilands did extremely well and were well received everywhere we visited. Now, because of my trip to Chile, I was unable to make it to the Winter Family Weekend in Louisville, Kentucky. I had hoped to attend this year since, for one reason or another, I have been unable to attend for the past 3 years. This year, we arrived home from Chile on December 22nd, and the Winter Family Weekend began on December 23rd. I did not feel I could make that quick of a turnaround, so I chose not to attend this year. But I have great hopes for this coming year to be able to attend. But even without me, the headquarters office was well represented, and from all I've heard, it was an outstanding event with more than 1,100 registered for the weekend. That number will make the Winter Family Weekend the largest gathering of the year, more than any of our festival sites in 2025. I want to thank Nathan and Amanda Willoughby, a local pastor and wife, and the members in the Louisville area for their organization and hard work in making this such a successful event. Traditionally, the pastor of the Louisville congregation oversees this activity. Mark Winter and his wife, Colleen, handled this for a number of years since the WFW actually predates the beginning of CAGWA. I'm happy to report what a great and successful activity this was for 2025. We now look forward to this coming December, where the event will once again be held at the Galt House in Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Willoughby sent me some preliminary statistics from the weekend, which were very encouraging. The actual registration was 1,154, which is our largest number since 2017. For the continuing education classes taught primarily by our two FI instructors, Dr. Ralph Levy and David Johnson, we registered over 400 for most of the classes. This was also a record number. Now, our numbers dropped a bit for services on the weekend. It seems that seasonal viruses caught up with a number of people. But our online attendance set a new record. Mr. Willoughby wrote to me that this year we had the largest showing for the free pizza night, with 954 registered for that activity. All activities had record attendance. It was a good year all around. And that's from Mr. Willoughby. I would also encourage all of you to go online and check our website to receive the updates from our final camp of 2025, Winter Camp in Wisconsin. The number of campers was small, but I am told that the attitudes and enthusiasm were great. Mr. Larry Solomon, who pastors our Minneapolis congregation, was the camp director again this year. Mr. Solomon wrote this update on December 29th. Winter camp is off to a great start. We have 32 campers and 22 staff. Everyone arrived safely, and there is a lot of excitement because we received several inches of snow last night. The temperatures are not going to be above freezing this whole camp. One camper from the south made the comment that he had never seen so much snow. Now, as though these events were not enough, updates on the progress on the new building, a trip to Chile, the Winter Family Weekend, and an update from winter camp. We also squeezed in two ministerial retirements on the Sabbath of January the 3rd, 2026. Chris and Angela Moen in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Harris and Patricia Lazo in Zimbabwe. Both couples retired on January the 3rd. Tim Waddle and Neville Smith from South Africa were present for the retirement of Harris and Patricia Lazo. Harris was the pastor of several congregations in the Harare area. From all accounts, it was a wonderful Sabbath honoring two longtime servants in Zimbabwe. My wife and I, along with Dave and Pam Myers, flew to Grand Rapids on Friday, January the 2nd. We went from 70 degrees weather in Dallas to 16 degrees in Michigan. And believe me, we could feel the difference. Mr. Moen is the first of six full-time U.S. ministers who will be retiring in 2026. His came on January the 3rd, which makes him the first of the year. He will be followed by five others throughout the year, 2026. Harris Lazo was the first of two international ministers scheduled to retire in 2026. We will keep you informed as each date comes up and let you know how things went. Since I was present for the retirement of the Moens, let me make a few comments about Mr. and Mrs. Moen. I will leave it to Mr. Horchak in a future Inaccord to comment on Mr. and Mrs. Lazo. Chris Moen was ordained an elder in the Worldwide Church of God in 1991, 34 years ago. And in 2002, 23 years ago, he was hired full-time in the ministry of the United Church of God at that time. In 2017, Chris came to Grand Rapids to replace Gary McConaughey, and he served as the associate pastor here in Western Michigan, working with the pastor, Mike Anisco, beginning at that time and up to the present time. Now, I'm very thankful that our time in Cogwa, 15 years now, has been one of peace and building relationships. We are very thankful for the contributions that Chris and Angela have made to the church in serving the brethren over the past 30-plus years. Now, there's truly a theme to everything I've discussed on this week's Inaccord. I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Here you'll find a reference to serving the brethren. Whether we're discussing the new building, the winter family weekend, the church visits, or the retirement of one of our ministers, there is a consistent theme of service. Joy and peace come when there is an attitude of service. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, we read these words. For God is not unjust to forget your labor and work of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When we serve each other, whether minister or member, we are worshiping God and showing honor toward his name. Whether at a winter family weekend or in a local church area, an attitude of service will produce good fruit. I was happy to be present when we honored the Moens this past weekend. Well, that will do it from here for now. Next week on In Accord, we will hear from Doug Horchak updating us on his most recent trip to Asia. And in 2 weeks, Dave Myers will provide an update for ministerial services, in which he will be announcing the ministerial transfers for this year, 2026, and also the approved U.S. festival sites for this year. You won't want to miss these announcements. Please have a peaceful and uplifting Sabbath. I will see you again in a few weeks. Goodbye for now.